Good morning, church. I am the summer pastor. My name is Caleb, for those who don't know me. And this Sunday, it is the fourth Sunday of Advent, and we are lighting the candle for love. We don't quite get to light the red one yet. That one's special reserved for Christmas Day, and I think Christmas Eve as well. Yeah. I now get the privilege of praying on behalf of all. So let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your love to us. As we approach Christmas, we are reminded in the lead-up of your love to us, the peace you bring to our lives, the hope we can have in you, and the great joy that fills our hearts as we get excited about celebrating the birth of your Son, Jesus. Lord, we are also so thankful for your blessing and provision to us as a church. We are sitting in this building today only because of your provision. We thank you for all those who have given so much time and money into getting this building completed. Let this building be a place for the community to gather, a space dedicated to bringing you glory, and a place where we can worship and praise you today and long into the future. Lord, we recognize that in the lead up to Christmas, that although there is great joy, there can also be great sadness for some people. We pray for those who are grieving this year because they are missing a loved one. We ask that you comfort them and bring them peace. Lord, we also pray for families who are struggling over the Christmas period, whether that be financially, mentally, or families with tension and unresolved conflict. Lord, bring people together in love and support for one another as we head into Christmas. We thank you that we were able to give 105 Christmas hampers over the past couple of weeks to families in need. We thank you for the generosity of those who supported this appeal. God, you are our Lord. You are amazing. Amen. I'm now going to read the passage that Andy will be preaching on this morning. Bear with me as I try and pronounce all of the names correctly, as it is the genealogy of Jesus. This is the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, Judah, the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. Perez, the father of Hezron. Hezron, the father of Ram. Ram, the father of Amminadab. Amminadab, the father of Nahshon. Nahshon, the father of Salmon. Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed, the father of Jesse. And Jesse, the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife. Solomon, the father of Rehoboam. Rehoboam, the father of Abijah. Abijah, the father of Asa. Asa, the father of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat, the father of Jehoram. Jehoram, the father of Uzziah. Uzziah, the father of Jotham. Jotham, the father of Ahaz. Ahaz, the father of Hezekiah. Hezekiah, the father of Manasseh. Manasseh, the father of Amon. Amon, the father of Josiah. And Josiah, the father of Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the exile to Babylon. After the exile to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Jehieltiel was the father of Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel, the father of Abihud. Abihud, the father of Eliakim, Eliakim the father of Azor, Azor the father of Zadok, Zadok the father of Akim, Akim the father of Elihud, Elihud the father of Eleazar, Eleazar the father of Mathan, Mathan the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Joseph, and husband of Mary, and Mary was the mother of Jesus, who is called the Messiah.
And thus there were 14 generations in all, from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile in Babylon, and 14 from the exile to the Messiah. What a story. What a story we have to tell. We begin this morning a sermon series called The Cradle, The Cross and The Crown, where we begin in Matthew's Gospel looking at the birth narratives and the first four chapters. And then as we go on past Christmas and summer into the latter part of Matthew's Gospel looking at the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. But what a story we have to tell. The story that was told to us of faith and of loss and of gain. The story that we have to tell coming this morning. I wonder if you saw your story at all in the genealogy of Jesus. As Matthew, who had been a tax collector living on the edges of his society, a traitor to his people, a profiteer, had met Jesus and had been turned upside down and inside out within his life. Jesus entered his ordinary existence and interrupted everything and said, "Follow me." And so in recording the story that brought Jesus to this time and this place, as he told the story of those who'd come. He included women, which writers didn't do in genealogies. The whakapapa of Jesus included surprises that might surprise you and me and should. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Abraham was a nobody, living just an ordinary life until God spoke to him and called him out. "Come and I will give you a land. I will give you descendants and I will make you a blessing to all the nations through your descendant." One friend of mine summarizes it. God promises property, prosperity, and progeny, which is easy to remember and not so easy to say. But God makes this grand promise. And through Isaac and through Jacob, the liar, the deceiver, the usurper, gave birth to Judah, who slept with his daughter-in-law because she had to trap him because he wouldn't allow her to be honored, Tamar. And here she is honored in the birth line of Jesus. Perez, the father of Hezron. Hezron, the father of Ram. Ram, the father of Amminadab. And so on and so forth until we get to Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Now, Rahab, for those of us who know the story, she was a woman worthy of great honor. She had protected the spies as they entered the land of Israel. But she was a prostitute. A complete surprise, a foreign prostitute. In the lineage, the whakapapa of Jesus, if you and I were writing a fairy tale, if you and I were writing those that we expected to be in the lineage of Jesus, it wouldn't be Rahab, but there she is. The foremother, not the direct mother, the ancestor of Boaz, who was the father of Obed through Ruth, another foreign woman who has no place rightly in the lineage of Jesus, but here she is, showing loyalty and faithfulness that we can learn from today. She is one of the heroes of faith to me. Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of King David, who when he was called was a shepherd boy on the hills of Bethlehem, the least of his brothers, the last of his family, lost in the hills, and God says him. I wonder if God says you this morning. And then David, as he rose from being a shepherd to a king, became a man who misused his power and took another man's wife, Uriah's wife, and then arranged for him to be murdered to hide the infidelity, to hide his rape of Bathsheba. In the lineage of Jesus. I wonder if you feel like you don't belong here, whether this is your first time in church in a very long time, and you're kind of wondering whether these new walls are going to fall down on you. The beams are good. You're all good. Somebody said to me the other day, it might cause the building to fall down if I come to church. It's like, mate, it survives me every week. You're welcome. Solomon, the father of Rehoboam. Rehoboam, the father of Abijah. Abijah of Asa. of Jehoshaphat, Jehoram, Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, kings, all of them, Hezekiah, Manasseh, wickedness after wickedness after wickedness. Until they get to King Jeconiah, who was sent into exile with God's judgment on his people, sending them back to where they came from, resetting to the beginning, going back to the land of Babylon, longing, like Abraham, for another place, longing in Babylon to be in Jerusalem, longing to be in that holy city, longing to sing songs again of God's people. One of these days, we're going to see the holy city. We're going to drink sweet milk and honey, the symbols that God had given to his people of the fullness of his promises. There would be a welcome table for all where everyone has a seat. But who will make the way? Because it all looked so messed up when they were in Babylon. It looked like God's promise had failed. They needed a new King David. They needed a new Moses. They needed a military mighty warrior to come and rescue them. They needed someone who would lay waste to the earth to save them. Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel. Shealtiel, Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel, the father of Abihud. Those of us who were around recently in the sermon series through the Minor Prophets heard about Zerubbabel, this would-be king who was a complete disappointment in the end. Abihud, Eliakim, Azor, Zadok, Akim, Elihud. God had stopped speaking through the prophets. 400 long years of silence. Eleazar of Matan, Matan of Jacob, and Jacob of Joseph, a carpenter from Nazareth, betrothed to a young woman called Mary. And all the promises of God, the hopes and disappointments, the mess of all these years would come through this couple. Do not be afraid, the angel would say. I bring good news of great joy to all the earth. Do not be afraid. Matthew gives us edited highlights of Jesus' genealogy. He gives us the people who stand out. As we sit today, there are some people who stand out for us as we think about getting into this building and this place. Each and every one of those names, I look around the room, I can see many of you. Each and every one, ordinary people, captivated by the extraordinary truth that Jesus is God in human flesh, born into frailty and mess and weakness. Like you, like me. This Christmas, we have a message of a cradle, a cross and a crown. In the cradle of the manger of Bethlehem, God rested in the frail flesh of a child, that he would grow to be the man who would die on the cross, who is the risen King, ruling and reigning over the whole universe. It is our life, our hope, our declaration. It is why we have done this. Not so that we can gather on a Sunday morning, well, that as well, all in one room, but that we can serve this community with this good news and this message. It is a message of invitation. Your story can be wrapped into Jesus' family story. That is what the church is. We are his family. Jesus the Lord calls to everyone from every nation of every kind, men and women, young and old, rich and poor, come to this one who would have you, so that you might have stories to tell in future generations. As I close, let me say thank you to Waitakere Everybody Sings Choir, who I'm part of and dragged along this morning. Thank you so much, guys. If any of you want to join the choir, we're most open to members. Talk to any of these guys. They'd love to invite you along to our gatherings on Monday evenings, which will be here next year. But we, as a church, want Jesus to be at the center of all that we do, and he is. He makes the way from Bethlehem forward for God to fulfill all of his promises. In 1953, my grandparents moved their family out to the edges of Liverpool. My parents got married in 1964. I was born in 1970. Some of you are like, wow, that's young. Some of you aren't. I am new to this place. 5 years ago, God called me to serve here as pastor, and it is such a privilege to be stood here today at the end of what was, you know, 5 and a bit years for me. 24 long years. Some would love to have been among us today, but can't now be, because the Lord has taken them home. I want to acknowledge the sacrifice of so many in giving finances, in giving time and energy, in joining in prayer meetings, in giving long hours to set out chairs and be part of this journey. Thank you. Because this is the ongoing story of the Lord Jesus, and it's a beginning, not an end. It's fitting that we come this morning looking at this genealogy, starting this sermon series. This will be our proclamation in this place. This is our hope. The cradle, the cross, and the crown is ours, because it is his, and we belong to him. Let's pray. Lord God, who has given us the Lord Jesus, that you might know us and us know you, we praise you today that your faithfulness is unendingly good and that your love for us is fierce and beautiful and marvelous and wonderful. Thank you. Thank you for this place. We ask that the gospel would never leave these grounds and always be proclaimed here, and that as you send us from here, send us with song in our mouths and hearts, as we eat together and meet together, Lord, help us to greet one another. In Jesus' name, amen.